In the beginning, there was a dream. A dream that became a film fest. Known throughout the universe as the greatest collection of motion pictures ever assembled. Now, Apocalypse Video brings you the fifth installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. The future is super female. A gathering of the best and worst in female-led comic book movies. From Barbed Wire to Barbarella, Catwoman to Tank Girl. They're all here, and they're all fabulous. Step aside, fellas, because these girls get it done. On this week's episode, Jennifer Garner comes back from the dead to battle tattooed freaks and supervillains who use their laundry as a weapon. It's Elektra.
For centuries, those with extraordinary powers have waged a secret war for supremacy. Now, in between good and evil, stands a warrior.
Her name's Elektra.
Like the tragedy, her parents must have had a sense of humor.
Not really.
She has mastered the skills of the past. She can read the shadows of the future.
I see what's gonna happen before it happens. She's my friend.
She doesn't really know who you are.
This January.
It's about her, isn't it?
She was a prodigy from 5 years old.
You'll be better than I am very soon.
One generation must protect the next.
War's just begun.
I'm not a good person to get involved with.
Wake me up inside.
I can't wake up.
See, I can't. Oh, I forgot the next line of the song. I fucked it up already. Elektra's dead, and I messed up this song. This is the worst opening to a discussion ever. But wait, Elektra isn't dead. Oh, General Zod brought her back.
What is already dead can never die.
Somehow, Elektra has returned.
I'm your host, Dave. Thanks for joining us for another underwhelming episode of Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 5. The future is super female. I'm joined again by my fellow, I don't know, would you call them mutants? Or are they just like supernatural?
Members of the Hand?
Members of the Hand, Ryan Caldwell.
What? Is there any lines in this movie at all? yes. Elektra. Elektra.
Wow. And I'm also joined by Mike.
What is this? Yoga?
I don't remember that.
They're doing like the
yoga line, right?
Elektra and Abby, I think is her name, are doing like the meditation thing, and she's like
Elektra and the kid.
Yeah, the kid, and the kid's like, "What is this? Yoga?"
I don't remember any of the character names beyond Elektra.
It was like you know, we always talk about how like the 90s everyone was like sushi, raw fish. I feel like this is like a 2005 equivalent of that, of like yoga. Yeah.
People were doing yoga in 2005, right?
Yeah, they were, but you know, yeah. Movies were being like yoga.
You guys heard about this yoga?
Well, Mike, you weren't on the last one we did, Catwoman.
I can't believe it. That was a titular movie. You fucked up not being on Catwoman.
You would have loved it, I think.
There's a Catwoman. I feel like this all hinges on Catwoman, this movie, and everything else. It's just like
the after the stunning failure of Catwoman, everyone was on board to try and.
It's just they were. This is all of a piece, I think, and I feel this is bad for women. This whole series.
Who picked these?
No, I just think it's.
What do you mean, who picked these? These are just the female-led superhero
these
movies.
Are the
this
ones.
Is it.
And I feel like we are just terrible people for like getting into this or something.
Should we have just not talked about it?
No, I just try to think of like, it's just, I feel so bad for humanity, basically. This is what we got from this. Yeah, because this movie, I never seen it. I did see Daredevil in theaters for sure. Didn't see Elektra, but this is I think this is they didn't have a movie here, I don't think, at all.
Well, it's funny. I might be the lone person who quote unquote defends this movie.
No, I'm kind of with you, Dave. Like, I'm not going to defend this movie. Like, I don't think this is a good movie. Spoilers, skip to the end. I'm not going to recommend it. But maybe this is the classic, like, going in with the expectations so low. I didn't think it was like there was a movie here. Like, this is
like the equivalent of like the opening pitch at a baseball game, and if you can get it over the plate,
I don't think it does. I think it's just a fart out of a hand, basically. I will say, before I get to that, I'll say it does. One thing I did say, and this is just the only positive I have for the movie, is that it looks pretty damn cool. And it has a cool look in certain shots, in stills, I think.
It looks like a movie.
There's shadows. There's I'm like, these movies don't look like this anymore, which I was like, oh, like this looks like they went some places at least.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of with you, Ryan, but on the other hand, I do think one of my biggest problems with the movie is I think it's like kind of dark. Like there's a lot of night in this movie, and I think there's a lot of like that combined with the way the action is shot. A lot of it is like incomprehensible. Like I think
the whole movie is. I think you guys are crazy for even a 2-star like thing. I think this movie doesn't know what kind of movie it is. Doesn't know the tone it's trying to show. It doesn't know. It's like, let's just shoot this. This will work out. Like, we'll get these actors to do some things. We'll have these scenes. We'll have a kid. We need a kid. Like, it's bad. It's like Catwoman is like a disaster. You can tell in the editing. This feels like at least it has a moment to it. But I don't think it's much better than Catwoman. It's maybe half a star more better.
The kid. I'm going to go on record. I like the kid.
Ugh.
Well, I was going to say, when we talked about Catwoman, Ryan, we were kind of talking about how unique this era of just superhero movies in general was between 2000 and 2008 when the MCU began and became its own thing.
And Catwoman, for reference, Catwoman, was that 2003? This is 2004. So this is 2005.
And this is Elektra is 2005. This is that era where it's like, they're still figuring shit out. It's still also the early days of CGI, so stuff still looks terrible.
It's also Batman, like the Batman Nolan movies, I feel like were kind of dictated how superhero movies went for a while, like the grim, dark, and gritty thing. And maybe we'll get into this, but something I was like, this is weird, is because this came out the same year as Batman Begins, but I'm almost certain before Batman Begins. This came out in January. And it is like, quality aside, this movie's so similar to Batman Begins. There's a lot of similarities.
Well, it's a similar story.
Yeah, it's a similar story.
And both of them are Frank Miller inspired.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's it. But yeah, because I was going to say, like, the tone, it feels very, again, quality aside, the tone of this feels like the same tone as Batman Begins to me.
Train with like a mystic guy.
I don't think there's any like levity in this movie. Yeah, there's Batman Begins has like funny moments.
The classic scene where she goes to like nondescript Asian country and is trained by a British guy leading like a group of martial artists. The same beat as Batman Begins.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. This was just a snoozer to me. I don't know. It was a very, like, I was, like, Catwoman at least kept me alive. This one was like, I was, like, dying watching this. I'm just saying.
This one, I think the movie in general, like I appreciated the fact that I understood what was going on. I wasn't invested in anything, but I understood what was going on, and I wasn't confused at any point during the movie. And I appreciated that this movie goes there at times with like the freaks, like the I'm assuming they're mutants, like full on just mutant powers just show up out of nowhere, which is funny because when you see Daredevil, the movie that comes before this movie, it doesn't give you a suggestion that there are mutants in this world.
Well, but you have
all
like,
of a sudden you get this, and it's like eagle tattoos are coming alive, coming out of guys.
They're 100% like Metal Gear Solid bosses. Like that is the tone that these characters are.
This is why you like this.
Maybe. I mean, I did like the part
disgusting.
Where they were in the forest.
You freaks, you sickos.
The part where they were in the forest and it's just the freaks chasing them, doing all their freak powers. I was kind of
very Twilight 2. Like,
I think that was the best part of the movie by far.
It was the funnest part of the movie. When that guy cuts that tree down and it's falling, mm-hmm.
That was
fun. And he doesn't realize that was like
the only action.
Him.
That was like one of two action scenes in the movie, I feel like.
Basically. Yeah, not a lot of action in this.
There's action. It's just like, the action is really poorly, I don't know, I'm not a guy who does this, but I don't know what the problem is, but maybe it's the editing, but it definitely suffers from like in the action scene specifically, like it was literally incomprehensible at times. Like, especially there was the one of the climactic scenes where they're in the, it's all the sheets flying everywhere.
The guy's using his sheet.
I was like laughing. I was like, I literally have no idea like what is happening right now.
She's under a sheet, and then like she comes out from under the sheet, and then she grabs the chain and pulls her up the stairs. He stands there watching. It's the okay. This is it's bad. Like this movie is like a half, maybe a three-fourths of a star.
It's like it's almost like Star Wars kid level of like she's just kind of like and he's like and I don't know where the fight is happening at all.
And then they go like run inside like
she gets put under
base.
A sheet, and then she comes out from under the sheet, which is kind of like a cool like music video kind of trailer looking thing.
Wake me up!
You know? Yeah, like I'm like that's cool, but like. And I think the lighting in the beginning with her, like, and she's like, she's in some sort of dojo cleaning the floor and stuff. And I'm like, oh,
I think that's her apartment. She's just like obsessively, because she has, this is another like very 2005 thing where like she has OCD. That means she cleans a lot. Like, or
she
like, and
steps.
She puts her fruit in rows. That's how
she
OCD, that's OCD.
She laughs so hard.
And then
it was kind of okay. You gotta admit, it was kind of. I don't even know if this was meant to be funny, but it was kind of funny when she goes in the beginning of the movie. She goes to the lake house and it's doing the like dun 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 dun, dun like action scene music, and she's just like taking her like toothpaste out and arranging her toiletries.
It was supposed to be funny.
That was kind of funny. But it wasn't really established yet. The OCD. It was weird. It was like
I think that was establishing it.
Yeah, I know, but it's like.
What kind of freak arranges their toiletries?
Can we rewind it? I don't remember how she's introduced in Daredevil. Do you remember anything about Daredevil, David?
If I remember correctly, I don't remember if she's, was she an assassin or not in Daredevil? But anyway, she meets Ben Affleck, Daredevil, at a party. They develop a relationship.
She finds out she's a ninja.
Like, she's like a ninja or something. And then... I want to say she wants to take down Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, for some reason. And then Bullseye, Colin Farrell, kills her. And then this movie opens with, actually, she didn't die because Terrence Stamp, a.k.a. Stick, has magical bring people back to life ninja powers. He basically does the thing where he goes like.
Yeah.
Does this with
Dave
his hands,
is rubbing his hands together.
Rub your hands together like this, and then you just sort of rub their belly, and they come back to life.
Did you see Daredevil, Michael?
I saw it in theaters, and I haven't seen it since then, so I don't really remember it much.
Same here. Yeah, I remember being excited to watch Daredevil. I don't know. I like Ben Affleck.
The movie came out 21 years ago.
Oof. That was sort of like a modest hit. It wasn't a monster hit or anything, but it was. It made enough money to warrant, I guess, like, what if we did an Elektra spinoff?
But another
Daredevil?
I think Elektra suffered from the thing of, like, it's never, like, in a franchise, it's never the shitty one that does poorly, like the first bad one. Like, people, like, you have a bunch of good movies, people go see, like, the shitty one, but then the one after the shitty one, no one goes to see. And I think this is maybe what happened with Elektra.
Well, I think it was just getting into, like we talked about in Catwoman, it was getting in the air what a good one of these movies could be. And Spider-Man 2 came out the same year as Catwoman. And we were just like, that's the still the cream of the crop of all these things. And X-Men 2 had been out, and people like that and everything. And so it wasn't quite like, I mean, there was weird ones like Hulk and stuff that people like didn't like respond to.
The Blade movies were out there doing their thing.
Yeah, but those still felt like separate. That still felt like
those
vampire
felt like outliers.
Yeah, those don't feel like that wasn't like when I was a kid, I didn't even know those were comic book movies or anything like that. Like I didn't know that was a superhero. I just figured it was just like that's a vampire killer. That's how it was more. It was almost like the making the Shadow in the 90s and stuff like that. Mm. Like it was like the Batman, you know, with those serials. So that's how I felt with this. It was still like this early 2000s was just like shooting and miss either hitting threes or just, you know, missing the net totally, you know? And I think, until the next year with Batman and Iron Man the same year or Dark Knight, I guess is 3 years later. It's 3 years later.
Well, part of it, I think watching this, so just a quick rundown of the plot. We mentioned that she died in the previous movie. She's brought back to life in this from her sensei stick. She begins working as like a contract assassin.
She's an agent. Who's the agent for her contracts? Is that what that is?
Just her handler, I guess. I don't know.
He calls himself her agent. I'm like, what is this like guy? This like dweeb like following.
he's the Steven Root character in Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just doesn't have any. He's just like he looks just like the guy that she's like kissing later in a weird way.
What
like,
were
it's just
you
like,
wanting from this agent?
Just
right?
Make it like a character. Like make it like a guy in a chair with glasses or something.
Make
you
it
know?
Like somebody I could like. You know, like a good character.
He's got depth. Remember, like early on in the movie when he realizes Elektra's stressed. He's like, "Don't you get laid?"
Yeah, I know.
That surprised me. That I was like, wow, you do not get that in a comic book movie nowadays, the mention of sex.
Well, you don't get that in a male superhero movie either. No one's like asking like Superman, like were you getting laid, Superman? Yeah.
Just no superhero movie. Sex is not brought up.
And you know, speaking of which, as your agent, I am obligated to tell you we just got an absolutely fantastic new offer, but that last job.
Let's skip this one. I need a breather.
Great idea. I'm just saying it's a lot of coin.
I'm tired.
You're tired, well, then you better get yourself some sleep because you are going to crash, baby. You know that. You even get laid?
I will say, you know, this movie is, especially the ones I've seen here, the films I've seen in the festival, this is light on the, like, totally turning our superhero lead into, like, an object. That I was kind of surprised, actually, at how little, like, there wasn't even, like, a shower scene in this, which is, I feel like...
You get, like, one kind of ass shot, and that's it.
No, there's, like, that costume is, like, it looks like something from...
She's barely in like the costume, though.
I know, but it looks like something from, like, a sex boutique. Like, it looks really bad, I think. Like, it's nothing about... Like, she had more in
the... She's only in the costume for, like, 5 minutes at the end.
It's in the beginning and the end, really. And it's weird because there's, like, two intros. There's, like, the mystical intro.
Yeah.
And then there's another one with, like, a guy in a chair. I'm like, why didn't the movie start here? Like, I was, like...
Yeah, there's the intro of like there's the intro setting up what the story of the movie's going to be, and then there's a second intro where this guy is I think it's Jason Isaacs.
Yeah,
he's narrating basically like how much of a badass Elektra is.
Mm-hmm. And I was like excited to see Jason Isaacs as the villain for this. I'm like, okay, this is a guy, you know, this is a guy.
And he's just dead.
Yeah,
not Sheik, man.
I was excited for a second. I'm like, oh, this is a funny guy. Like, I mean, not funny guy, but this is like a presence. This dude, and then all of a sudden
he has juice.
He has juice. Yeah.
Who do you think's coming for you?
You may have heard of her. Her name is Elektra. You find that funny?
She's an urban legend, sir. That woman died years ago.
Really? Well, then somebody must have brought her back from the dead. You know, Bauer, when you've done the things I've done, you make a lot of enemies. My private security detail. The best money could buy. This non-existent woman killed 14 of them in half an hour. I barely got away. Spent the next 2 days in Monte Carlo wondering why she let me go. And she came for me. I was under the protection of the hand itself who sent their best. Although they seemed more interested in killing Elektra than in protecting me.
She cut him down like wheat. Took maybe 10, 15 minutes max. Didn't really think why I kept getting away. So here I am. And now I understand her. She wanted me to feel this, what it's like to have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn.
But then he immediately gets killed. You're like, oh
I know. Which I'm like, this should be the intro of the movie. It's kind of a fun, weird thing of like,
yes,
of like this, and it's like a separate little, like your Star Trek mission before the mission type of thing. You
yes.
know? So, but
the pre-credit sequence,
but we had the credits already and they sucked. It was boring and I was sleeping already by the time.
Well, like Catwoman, we get like a thing like long, long ago, like there's always been good and there's always been evil. They're always after this thing that'll tip the balance.
Yeah, no, it was bad, that intro too. Yeah, so I was already like, ugh, another one of these. So anyway, yeah, that costume, she removes it in Daredevil the first one, or the first one, the only one. She's like more wearing like, it's more of like the X-Men like black leather thing.
With like red trim, kind of.
Yeah, and then they're like, no, we need to go closer to the costume. But she doesn't even have the best part about, I mean, I don't know much about Elektra, but from the, what I've seen from the Marvel Snap.
The headband,
she has a
right?
headband, and I like the headband. Yeah. Come on, where's the headband? This is my nerd, comic book nerd that never has never heard one word from a Elektra comic saying, want the headband.
Well, this, yeah.
So, not so my Elektra.
To get back into the plot synopsis, I mentioned there's the good and evil is always looking for something that'll tip the balance between good or evil.
It's like, and it's kind of funny like how vague that intro is. Like,
well,
that.
They don't. Yeah, we find out that it's this girl. You mentioned there's a kid in the movie, and it's this girl who has like, who's I guess preternaturally good at martial arts. I guess
she's
and,
a treasure.
Like, is able to whip around this cool little magic whip thing, and I guess with training she'll become like a super powerful person. I don't know, it's very unclear.
Yeah, she's just a kid, Karate Kid, you know. I don't
she's
know.
The Karate Kid. It's like, we gotta get the Karate Kid, and if we get her for evil, she'll help us rule the world, I guess. It's never specified what anyone's ultimate goal is in using her, other than to vaguely tip the balance between either good or evil. That's it. It's very vague.
I guess the idea is, like, you're supposed to be showing this is, like, Elektra's upbringing or something, too, maybe? Like, she
we
was kind of...
We got that.
I know.
We understand that.
I know. I guess this is like, it's just like a mirror of that. She even looks like her, which is like...
Well, it seemed... I thought the movie was kind of suggesting like Elektra could have been this person at one point.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring too. It's just like this is a mirror of her upbringing.
Essentially, she's having the same story that this kid is having. Anyway.
Snooze.
Snooze, yeah. It's not great. Like I said, it's very much just like, it's like, you know, it's over the plate. It's a movie. But I think the thing that really kills this movie,
over the
and
plate.
I might get some hate for this, but I do not think Jennifer Garner is good in this movie. I think the problem is, and this might just be my problem. I feel like I've seen more movies, Jennifer Garner, in my mind, is more of a mom. And she brings that mom energy to this role, and it just feels like someone like, yeah, I'm bad, it's like, no, you gotta, I just didn't believe her in the role. And also, it doesn't help that, like you said, the tonal imbalance in this movie, like she's trying to be, like a badass, like she's trying to put on that kind of like John Wickian, like I'm cool, like don't fuck with me, I'm not talking to you, blah blah blah. But then she also balances it like the yoga bits and all that, like the one or two jokey moments in this movie, and it's just like I never buy her as either.
I did see that she didn't, at least in the wiki, she didn't want to do this movie and like only did it because she had to, like under contract from doing Daredevil.
And yeah, and I get a sense that like
it does have a vibe of like I don't want to be here.
Well it's a vibe of like I don't think she really has a handle on the character. Like it could have been better, I think, if she really went down one lane or another in terms of like I'm either brooding badass or I'm like, you know, the I don't want to kill people route.
I think it
never really melded for me.
I think what they're trying to do, and I don't think it's successful, is that they're trying to like, this is like a hardened person that's becoming like seeing herself in this girl and becoming compassionate or something like that. But they don't. There's
I
not.
I think that's what the story is trying to do. But like her performance, I just don't feel like she's in it. Like, well, and I guess it goes. It makes sense if she didn't even want to be in the movie in the first place.
The thing is, I never watched. Did you guys ever watch Alias? You may watch.
No.
So
no.
I feel like. See, me too. And so like I don't have that. That must have been what people were jumping to because that was a big show.
See, and that's the thing. I've never seen that. I'm more familiar with her work after this, which is more like just kind of like dramas and stuff like that, where she's just, you know.
Well, in comedies, and I think it's funny because they say that, like, that's maybe the reason this movie not working is why she went down that route, you know, because she was more of this, like, action kind of spy person, you know, in that zone of world already on TV.
It's weird. Yeah, I'm in a weird position, like, you know. I'm more familiar with her post-Electra work, so it's just like, it's hard for me to, like, I just don't buy her in this role, you know?
No, I'm kind of with you. I actually like the kid more than I like Jennifer Garner. I like the kid quite a bit.
Why? Like, what does it for?
Well, because
you?
She picked the lane. She, like, there was, like, her character was more just like, I'm just, like, pissed off for, like, I keep getting flunked out of these schools, but I just want to beat shit up. And, like, there was, like, a life, an energy.
Yeah, she had a joie de vivre. You know, she had, like, a zest for life. And she had a good vibe of, like, put me in, champ. Just let me in there.
Yes,
let me in there.
Elektra, Jennifer Garner had none of that.
I'm not saying it was, like, amazing or anything, but it was something. It was
just
definitely, like,
note,
a.
Though. Just, like, nothing.
Well, it's grasping for anything in a movie. Movie that's not great. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, that character has life to her. Ooh,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but like, I think the thing that the saving grace with this movie, the thing that were, I mean, it's a forgettable movie ultimately, but the things that made me perk up while watching it were like moments where a bad guy, one of the supernatural hand ninja guys, would die and then explode into green smoke. Green smoke and flame. I'm like, that's fun.
Or they're like, yeah, revealing. Tattoo, what does tattoo do? Oh, his tattoos come to life and the snakes are pouring out of him.
How many tattoos does this guy have? He's got like eagle, wolf, snakes. There's
like
a
million.
I think that's it.
Snakes.
I think it's eagle, wolf, and snake.
Oh, was it just that?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there's a lot of snakes.
A wolf.
A lot of snakes.
Yeah, the snakes are just pouring out of him. That was probably the coolest shot of the movie.
That was a cool looking effect.
Snakes,
you
know? Pouring out of him. Like there were too many snakes in there. It was gross.
We also, if we're talking about the supernatural hand ninjas, there's also Viper, who I believe we see in The Wolverine. She's the one that, like...
Oh, wow.
If you remember in that movie, she's the one that, like, puts that, like, nanobot inside Logan that saps his powers away or something.
As much as I like The Wolverine, that movie barely exists too, I think. You know, it's weird. It's like,
it's a shame. I like that movie. I think it gets kind of like
the Japanese one.
Third act.
Yeah.
Third act where it turns into like a kind of generic, you know, action Marvel movie.
I can't remember anything other than the train. It's funny in that. You know?
Yeah,
the train
same.
Sequence is great in that movie. Yeah.
That movie is cool.
The Johnny Tsunami's dad is in this movie, and he does it for a little bit.
Is he the leader of... Oh, you mean Shang Tsung?
I think so. Let me see. He's one of the guys...
The leader of the hand, right?
There's like there's a bunch of boardroom scenes in this movie. A lot of that, you know? like probably the making of this movie. It's like very much a lot of... Like the leader of that.
Yeah, any
know?
Bad board, superhero movie, there's a lot of boardroom scenes.
Boardroom scenes.
So am I to understand that with all the power of the hand... That the treasure continues to elude us.
Yes. Perhaps if we had pursued it sooner and more aggressively.
You dare to blame Master Roshi?
Seems our methods are too mild for Kirigi.
Not at all, Sensei. But if we cannot have the weapon ourselves, allow me to make sure it does not fall into the hands of those who may use it against us.
Master, allow me. Things like this must be handled smoothly, quietly.
Then work smoothly, Mezumi, but quickly.
Who is he in this? Let's see if I can find him.
While you're finding that, there's something I have to drop that I don't know when to bring it up, and this is a good time. Dave, I'm going to ask you, are you familiar with this director's work?
I am a little bit. Rob Bowman, he directed a movie I enjoy. It's not amazing, but I enjoy it. Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. Mm-hmm. He also directed probably one of the biggest ones. This will be the biggest movie on his resume. Ryan, prepare yourself. The director of Elektra, Rob Bowman, also directed the original Fast and Furious.
He did?
Yeah, this was him.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive.
Are you sure about that?
Do you have it pulled up? Is it not him?
This isn't what I was going to bring up. I mean, maybe he did.
What?
I don't think he did.
I was going to bring up something much more important than that.
What am I mixing him up with then? Oh, I guess he did. he directed Reign of Fire, the X-Files movie. Oh, maybe.
But what he directed that's more important than anything else is he directed 33 episodes of the X-Files and 13 episodes of Star Trek Next Generation, including Q-Who.
Oh, wow. We've done that. Oh, he also did some Quantum Leap.
Yeah, he did. He did an episode of Quantum Leap Justice, season 4.
I'm mixing this guy
Rob
up
Cohen
with,
directed the... It's Rob Cohen that directed the...
Cohen, yeah, okay. What is it with Rob's? What can I say?
The Quantum Leap episode he did, season 4, episode 4, Justice, the synopsis is, Sam must save the life of a civil rights worker, ironically, as a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah, he did... So he did like Q-Who and stuff on and TNG. He did a lot of the Data and like Data's dad episodes. Like he did Elementary Dear Data, Brothers, and all that. Yeah. So he did like some good TV. So
did we do Airborne on the show? Why do I have Airborne as watched?
What? Airborne?
Airborne?
It was like you've watched.
Isn't that like a cold medicine?
It's like a early Brink. Did we watch that for the show? It's like a skateboarding movie.
Are you thinking
of
Air Bud?
Like a rollerblading movie? No.
I think we just watched that I think that was during the pandemic. We watched that like we all got together and did one of those pandemic watch parties.
Yeah, okay, because you watched it, Dave, and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Carrie Tagawa. I'm sorry, she's Johnny Tsunami's grandpa. And he plays Master Roshi in this.
I did do a double take at Master Roshi had to confirm, like, it's Master Roshi? Okay, Master Roshi.
Shang Tsung as well?
He's Johnny Tsunami's grandpa. Anyway.
You know what's bad?
Oh, yeah, Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat.
Bad
yeah.
When we're talking about, like, you know these other movies that this one guy who was in the movie for 2 minutes did?
Let's talk about Q-Who from Star Trek.
Well, those sound like good episodes if he did that many. And X-Files is that's
they are
pedigree.
Like he did. You know, movie, Ryan. Too. I know you're not familiar with TNG. He did a handful of particularly good episodes from TNG. He was directed.
Like I said, I think that at least the first chunk of this movie, while boring and snoozy, have a good look to him. I think, but it's mostly compared to like if they made a lecture today, it would look flat and boring, and this has some lighting. It has that bleach bypass look that was popular at the time that like Spielberg was doing with like Minority Report and stuff. And and some people like that. I like that look. I like the that kind of, because it's still very filmic. It's like almost like let's push this damn film to like where the contrasts are just like crazy. And I don't like that. I think because there's not a lot of movies like that look like this really. It's you guys are kind of onto something that like Batman Begins is probably the closest to this movie really. You know, like in tone,
well, story wise, for sure. But and tonally, I guess. But, you know, it was interesting, like, because, yeah, as we've said, so none of us like this movie. This is not a good movie. But it was interesting. I think I'm kind of watching this movie more in an academic sense, kind of like how we were talking about Catwoman, like the state of superhero movies. Like, I'm kind of more watching this as like an academic sense. And right after we were done watching this movie, I ended up popping in Deadpool and Wolverine. Because that is essentially the sequel to Elektra. Well, it's the continuation of her character and the end.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was interesting because Deadpool and Wolverine picks up that. It was just interesting watching this movie and thinking like, oh, it's funny watching this character with all these serious, like, oh, she's having these hallucinations and everything's serious.
Oh, yeah, there's
brooding,
like the devil in this and stuff.
And there's like a demon at
That's
one
cool.
point.
That was cool.
It turns out it was just Sheep Man. But
it was just how she remembered it. Movie. Yeah.
there's so much pathos they're trying to put into this character, but then you see where this character ends up in Deadpool Wolverine, which is literally a trash planet where forgotten characters are just thrown away because they suck. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was interesting seeing that character, where that this character ends up in that movie, and it was interesting. This has kind of become a sort of a
Dave. Let's assume I haven't seen Deadpool and Wolverine. What is her deal in that movie?
This kind of became a side review of Deadpool and Wolverine. So in Deadpool and Wolverine, if you're unaware, there is a place called The Void. And the TVA with the time something or other.
That's that where was the Loki show. The
Loki TV show. There's a place called The Void where they take people that are deemed threats to the timeline.
And they pluck them out of their existence.
They pick them out of existence and throw them into this desert CGI world called The Void.
Looks like a parking lot.
It looks like a parking lot. It was probably shot in a parking lot in Atlanta with the green screen. It looks terrible. Anyway, they're deposited into this. It's literally referred to in the movie as like a trash world where all the trash is sent.
They should have. That would have been a funny bit if it had literally just been a parking lot in Atlanta. Yeah, I know.
That would be if they still made like Scary Movie or something like that. That'd be a good inside.
Well, but it's funny. Like they're deposited there along with other characters. You mentioned Blade. Wesley Snipes shows up as Blade.
Even characters that never happened, Channing
even
Tatum.
Even characters that never had movies, like Channing Tatum as Gambit, he's there. And they're kind of established as like this group of like ragtag people who never really made it, who had shitty. The meta-ness of it is like these are the people that were in the shitty Marvel movies.
There's even Chris Evans, famous for Captain America.
Yes. Oh, is he like Torch or something?
The Human Torch.
Human Torch. All the rejects basically show up in this.
This sounds like I'd be standing on my seat.
But it's interesting because watching it, like, it's not so much a summation of her character; it's a summation of the everything around the character in real life. You know, like the franchises and all that, because basically her Blade and Gambit are like we never had like a legacy. Like we were in these bad movies and we need our moment.
Blade kind of had a legacy, but
I mean Blade had a moment. It's kind of
forgotten, I guess. Yeah.
And in the credits of Deadpool and Wolverine, they have this thing where it's like this montage of like they're basically sending
in the credits.
Off,
yeah.
In the credits, they're basically
to time of your life,
off,
the Good Riddance.
Yes, it's you're like at a pep rally at a high school where you're thinking back to all the memories you've had the past 3 years.
And it's showing like behind the scenes of Elektra and stuff.
Yeah, they're showing behind the scenes of all the Fox Marvel movies. Okay. And it's like the send off of like they're basically saying like that era is over and it really felt like
the Elektra era is over.
Well, yeah, it felt like a eulogy for these movies in this era. And so that's why I wanted to watch that movie after this one, because, again, watching Elektra in a more academic sense, it's interesting how this is just sort of a dead zone of movies. Yeah. Like they're just throwing shit out, seeing if it works. A lot of it didn't. And it's just sort of this forgotten era of superheroes.
It's like, I mean, you know, we take for granted the Marvel machine, but yeah, I mean, it does like help you remember, like when Iron Man first came out, it was like not what it is today, right? It wasn't a given it was going to be this massive success.
Yeah. And I don't love Deadpool Wolverine, but it is, you're right. It kind of has like, in a way, if you treat the movie as if it's sort of like a Roger Rabbit-esque kind of thing, you know?
That's essentially what it is.
And I think that's fun. It's when you take it seriously as part of like our overarching story, it's like it loses all, it kind of kills a lot of like story of like importance to any of this, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You gotta
view it as like, I viewed that movie as like, like a Roger Rabbit comedy.
An
outlier.
Yeah, and the thing is, it really puts home the whole like no one's ever really gone out of Rise of Skywalker shit. If you're invested in these as if it's like characters in a drama, you know, or something like that, which is a crazy thing when you have a movie like Logan that they're taking the piss out of in this, you know, kind of thing. So it is in a way like we were just talking about, like it'd be a funny bit that if it was a parking lot in Atlanta, but this almost is like the Scary Movie version of that, like of Marvel movies, Deadpool and Wolverine. Which is kind of maybe, or Deadpool as a character at all, I guess, and is sort of the spoof version of these, which you can either love or hate, you know. So, So it is interesting. She showed it was really kind of anticlimactic how they show up in the movie. Don't they just like walk around a corner? Like they like,
well, they
like,
walk in and then they have their moment where they're like, we'll kill a bunch of nameless bad guys.
Oh yeah, later.
In
yeah.
This giant hollowed out Ant-Man, you know, I'm not even going to explain that, Mike. You just try to figure that out.
Oh yeah. It's also, the big bad is, Professor Xavier's long lost twin sister. Is that what it is or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Cassandra, I think her name is.
She got.
What does Elektra do in that? Does she do like the cool stabby
she
stuff?
Does
she
Elektra
do
thing where she stabs people with scythes?
So something I was unclear on, and I was like going back and forth between if I didn't like this or if I didn't care. It kind of, this element of the movie a bit reminded me of, I was wondering if they were doing like you know, because I'm just checking off the influences, right? Like, you got The Matrix. And I was thinking, like, oh, is there some Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon here where there's some powers she has that I feel like are not explained at all? And I'm like,
she can, like, move super fast.
She kind of can see ahead of time, like, see things.
That's what I was unclear. Does she have, like, an ESP thing going on?
She has,
does
like,
she
bat
have
powers or something.
So, yeah, does she do anything like that in Deadpool and Wolverine?
Daredevil power kind of stuff she's doing.
Like slight clairvoyance.
Yeah, but there's like at least one scene I'm thinking of, like an action scene where she's like playing out ahead what's going to happen and then like avoids it. And I was thinking, and the way they do it, it seems like it's some
like
sort of like future.
Sherlock, like Robert Downey Jr. and Sherlock.
No,
Holmes
I don't think it
stuff.
Was like, no, I didn't I, think well, it was I think that. I thought it was mystical.
She was doing her training and then like the guy's like, you're too angry, you need to leave. So she only got a little bit of that clairvoyance, like superpower, enough to see ahead like a minute or something.
Yeah, I can see like 30 seconds into the future.
Well, and she does use it to, you know, she when that Viper character is like poisoning the girl, the Karate Kid, she you know, she's on the other side of the hedge maze. She throws her sai with Superman like speed and power. It goes through all the hedges like a mile.
It's like homing,
kills Viper.
Yeah, it's like God of War axe or something. It's pretty,
which also leads me to believe, but it's just like, so she, it's not only clairvoyance like for just her own life, she could basically just zone out for everything around her even if she's not there. Because she wasn't there a minute in the future, like standing over Viper as she's poisoning the girl. She was way over on the other side of the hedge maze. So it's basically just she can see everyone's future, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it is odd that like we're in like the scene we're talking about is the finale and the climax. And it's odd to be like in the climax of a superhero movie where the superhero is using powers. And we're all like, what are these powers? Like, I don't understand. But I was waffling like I maybe it is a bad thing. Maybe that is a bad thing, but maybe it's not. Maybe I don't care. Like, again, I was going back to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where all the characters have like powers, but it's like not at all explained, acknowledged, or I was never clear in that movie what
maybe
the powers
this is
are.
Explained in the Elektra director's cut, but we're not going to watch that, so don't even bother like messaging us about that.
I couldn't take an extra 7 minutes or whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the director's cut's unrated, you know.
Ooh.
I think it is more scenes of like head chopping off and stuff like that, because there's a couple like scenes where you could imagine if you did it edit some different ways this would be bumped up to an R.
And given that this is based off a Frank Miller comic, I'm gonna guess that the comic is probably pretty violent, the original comic, I'm assuming.
It kind of sounds like, I mean, I don't know much about the character, but like, remember we were reading up like how barbed wire came about and stuff, and it's just like, you know, this kind of seems like a similar, like, what if there was a badass ninja but she was hot? I mean, when did the character come around? Is it 80s?
I'm guessing like early to mid 80s. It would have been around the time he was working on Daredevil.
This is definitely like a movie written by men too.
1981, like, yeah, Daredevil first appearance.
Like, I was saying earlier, like, this is, on the objectifying our protagonist here, this is low, right? It's not really doing it that much. But it is, like, it's definitely, like, handling her differently as a woman than it would as a man. Like, the whole nature of the plot of, like, her she's a hitman and, like, being assigned the target, but then she can't kill the target because she is in love with the man and motherly to the kid.
After one dinner date.
Yeah, after having dinner together once, like, these are not problems that, like, John Wick would have, or, like, a male protagonist. They would not, like, give him these issues. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like one... It's like taking a step back in the... We're not going to objectify her, but we're going to treat her differently in, like, other ways. We're going to explore new avenues of sexism in our female-led movie.
She should not have fallen in love with that guy.
It didn't make any sense. And then,
the guy there? I can't even remember him talking that much. He just, like, literally, like...
He's the dad of the Karate Kid.
I know, but, like, why can't she be, like, an orphan or something, you know?
You got to have a
hot guy that looks just like her agent. Like,
she's got to fall in love with somebody.
they both look the same.
They do kind of look the same.
And I'm just saying, yeah, like them next to each other in that farmhouse. Yeah, the agent of the city of fucking New York has this farmhouse that he has a shotgun in. And it's like, that guy does not look like a guy that would have a farmhouse and a shotgun. It's just, it's bad casting. It should have been like a fat guy with glasses and a beard like me.
I think you're on to something, Mike. I think she should have been an orphan. She should have been running around, and they could.
I didn't
say
anyone should be an orphan.
It should have been Stephen Root, like you just said about Barry.
No, the Karate Kid should have been an orphan.
Ryan said that.
Doesn't have a dad.
I don't know. It's just weird that you're right. It's a dad, it's a character for her to kiss, basically. You know?
Yeah. I think it would have been more interesting if there was no dad character. If this girl is on her own, the Karate Kid, and Elektra has to, like, you know, I think that would have been
a motherly figure without.
Well,
it's like they
find a way. They find a way to, like, shoehorn into this movie, like, she can't do her job because of her husband and family. Like, you know, in a way, you know, like she can't be a career assassin, she's because, like, she's too hung up with the love for this man and being a motherly figure to this kid.
Yeah, she's like, the war with hand is your problem, hand. So I, or the, or the, what's his name, foot or stick or, yeah, stick.
Stick. Please.
You
stick.
Got there eventually. Hand or foot or stick.
Why weren't the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in this movie?
I know. It's like,
they're right there. They're right under their feet.
They should have been the weirdo assassins.
Well, and that's what I thought was interesting, that, like, kind of fun to me about this movie. Because, like, as I said, there's nothing in the Daredevil movie that would lead you to think that there are, like, mutants in this world. I mean, Daredevil obviously has superpowers, but that was an accident.
Is Bullseye not, like, a mutant, though, or what?
No, he's just, like, very good at, like, hitting his target, essentially. He doesn't seem to be superhuman, whereas in this
Daredevil
movie,
has superhuman powers, though.
Yeah, but that was an accident.
Okay. He didn't have superhuman powers like snakes coming out of his body.
Yes, what I'm saying is that Daredevil movie didn't seem to suggest that there was a world filled with superpowered people. This movie does have that.
Spreading death woman. The death breath.
It got me wondering. I'm just like, it's funny that the studios didn't think, like, you know, like, what if we have these characters, let's bring them together. Like, it's shocking that it took so long.
Well, it's just funny because
be like, let's utilize our characters.
Feige
and make
is
this a world.
Executive producer on this, so he's there, you know? He's like, Kevin Feige is there.
That is wild.
He has no power.
I know, but it's just funny.
What was he doing at this point? Was he just like Marvel's, like, head of Marvel?
What was his deal? Because he is that listed on all these movies is like,
It seemed like he's basically the Marvel guy
consultant
on set that everyone ignores. They're like, okay, yeah, we do this thing in the comic, then comic, all right, we're not going to do that. We'll do it this way.
I wonder, like, I just want to imagine, like, Kevin Feige's house circa 2005 and then circa 10 years later. Like,
yeah.
How much different do you think his, like, living room
was?
His
hat collection certainly changed.
His hat collection. He has so many hats.
He was about to have a wild ride.
He now gets his own hats printed, you know. He has choices for that. What was I reading about with Elektra? So
save
in 2020, in the Daredevil comic books, apparently she becomes the second Daredevil, Elektra.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I don't know if Daredevil, if Mac Murdock dies or something, but...
Well, no one's ever really gone.
They woked it up, Ryan? Is that what you're saying?
They made it a woman. Shit.
Not my Daredevil.
She's not even blind.
She's not even blind. Yeah, this is a rite of passage, Elektra. We're gonna have to blind you if you want to become.
I mean,
Daredevil.
I will say, I don't care. Blind. I don't care if they make Daredevil a woman, but like, Daredevil should be blind. Like, am I crazy?
Maybe she can go blind.
What are we doing here? What is what? Is, how is she Daredevil if she's not blind? That's the whole thing.
Let's find
That's
out.
That's why he has the walking stick thing.
What? Yeah. Why? Otherwise, how is she not just Elektra?
Okay. Okay. How? I'm gonna say, how does Elektra become Daredevil?
Again, we're so disinterested in the movie at hand that we're like, let's talk about the comic book.
You know,
like,
what? I will say this is one of the most. God, we need to watch a good movie. I keep saying this too often, but it's one of the most boring movies I think we've seen in a minute.
Well, I will say that's how this. I felt. There has been some talk behind the scenes by some of the other tangential employees of the store. They're not technically employed by the store, but they're sort of tangentially. Like Jana, for instance, who suggested the unsung heroes as a theme. Movies such as Mystery Men.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw out there. It's odd. We're getting, it seems like, a universally negative reaction from all the women
before the series comes out.
This is a good sign. Hot Dave Summer Film Fest is a resounding success.
What it was someone in our store chat threw out, like, the future is super female. What if you just did all female superhero movies? And I'm like, that's genius.
Oh no, all the worst movies ever.
Oh no, yeah, that's the real estate. We're all terrible.
I think last week during Catwoman, I was like, there has to be one. And I'm like, Wonder Woman's okay, but I don't want to do that.
Yes. And I was just Ryan like, and I were both like, I guess Wonder Woman's the best one, I guess.
I never saw Captain Marvel, but that's probably okay.
It's fine.
It's fine, but Wonder Woman's better than that, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh no, that's the top.
We could watch the Wonder Woman sequel.
That is almost unwatchable.
Yeah, no, that was a joke.
Okay.
It's terrible.
All right.
Ryan, getting into it, does anyone else have anything to say? It seems like we're trying to talk about anything but Elektra.
Okay. So let's see if I make sure I got through all my notes. So I got, I first have her costume kind of sucks. Johnny Tsunami's dad, but that's his grandpa, sorry. he's Master Roshi, which I thought was fun. There's some choices in the look so far. This room where she's cleaning the floor is pretty cool. I have that in my notes. Her agent, Terrence Stamp, the devil demon dream. That's a positive. I forgot about that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I have stick playing pool. I was just like, all right. I don't know what I meant by that. but I have go play some pinball. That's what I should have said in the beginning for the.
Oh my God.
Why
yes.
didn't I say that? Dave, go play some pinball. Because
there were some pinball. I couldn't recognize the tables, though. They weren't anything.
We didn't get a good shot of them. I think one of them was like alien something. I've seen that one before. Anyway.
Okay. Then I got the tattoo bird. I thought I was like, oh, that's interesting. I haven't seen that in one of these. These white. These white ninjas.
I've been waiting for them to do Tattoo Bird, but I haven't seen that in these movies.
These white ninjas in the woods, and then Terrence Stamp comes out of the bushes like he's in a fish. Has a fishing vest on, basically. Like there's like they look up and there's these white ninjas falling from the trees, and then he just like comes around like he's been like peeing
we'll
in the woods.
We'll take it from here. Yeah.
And then I have this fucking girl with jeans on. Let her go. And I said like I was just mad at that. This damn girl. With jeans, comes rolling with her, like, keychain that she's, like, flying around. And I was like, that's when I stopped taking notes, basically. So that's all. That's all the points I wanted to hit.
Okay.
I do have, though, should we talk about how Elektra becomes Daredevil? I have all broken down for me here, basically.
Before we get into that, we'll say that this movie was not a hit. It had a smaller than I thought budget, somewhere between 43 and 65 million. It only grossed 57.
I did see the director was kind of like talking about like he was proud of like what he did with like he said it was a small budget and also he didn't have any time to do it. Like it sounds like this was like a really by the seat of their pants, shoehorn rush job. Yeah. And like, maybe it is one of those things. Like if you knew what it had been like to make this movie, maybe you'd be like, hey, this is maybe as good as it could have been.
Given the circumstances.
Right. Like it was never going to be good, you know.
Well, like I said, before we get into the legacy, where Elektra ended up in the comics, as forgettable as this movie ultimately is, like I think it's they get it over the plate enough, like as a movie, it's not good.
Yeah,
but it wasn't as miserable as an experience as I thought it could have been.
It just, you're right. And maybe it's just where I'm at with these movies. I was just like, I don't care about this, you know?
It's been a miserable summer, Ryan.
And I there was a moment, like the first chunk, this looks better than I expected it to, you know? And maybe it's just that these movies have looked so bad lately. And so that's kind of why I was like, oh, this is interesting. But you're right. There's no performances to me that kind of like made me too interested, really, you know, that pop out for you. And that's kind of the biggest thing that for how like basic, like the Iron Man movie, like there's not even that much going on in that movie either, where there's a lot of stuff, but the characters pop, you know, and that makes it really watchable. You know, it's not much of a throw from this movie, I feel like, if that makes sense.
It's only a few years later.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, what ended up happening to, did she get blinded or what? How did she become
Daredevil? It doesn't
look
like it. I was curious if she got blind. No, basically Daredevil goes to jail. He decides to, plead guilty because it's the right thing to do for like this thing he gets tried for, because he's like, I gotta set an example and plead guilty for this murder that happened. And Elektra doesn't like that. She's like, who's gonna protect Hell's Kitchen then, basically? And she asks Tony Stark to buy Hell's Kitchen to protect it, and he doesn't.
Elektra,
do
Hell's Kitchen has been gentrified now, it's fine.
I know. And then so she basically takes up the mantle as Daredevil to protect Hell's Kitchen, apparently is what happens. So nothing crazy. Okay. She doesn't go blind. What the fuck?
She should like stab her eyes out with her like pointy dagger things.
So what you're saying is it's not a sanctioned Daredevil switch.
No.
She just takes it upon herself to become Daredevil.
Yeah, basically.
Doesn't even blind herself.
No, she doesn't do that, no. And so he just runs to, he needs to go to jail. Like this damn lawyer over here is like, I should go to jail for this. Anyway.
Well, I'm hoping. So non-recommends all across the board. I'm sorry about this movie, guys.
Yeah, I was probably harsher on it than before, but there's some ideas they're trying to throw out, but it's boring.
You were
it's
saying two stars is too generous, Ryan.
I'd go one.
One star? Yeah. Okay. Not one and a half. One star.
Well, I'd say because Catwoman's a half, so this is one, I think.
Okay.
A little bit better.
Well, so did you enjoy this or Catwoman more? I'm just curious.
Well, Catwoman is just like a feat of like, how did this even... Like, what movies, like, don't make it to the screen if this made it? You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, that bad. Like, this movie, you're right, does look like a movie, even though, like, I think everyone that saw trailers for it, including me in 2005, were like, I'm not going to go see that. Like, you know, so.
I really wish you could have been on the Catwoman episode, Mike. I feel like you would have probably marveled at how bonkers that movie
bonkers
is.
And wonky. Like, it just feels like it's going to fall apart.
Wonkers.
Wonkers.
Like, it's just like not even taped together. It's like
it sounds like a commercial we would have watched for our commercial episode. Like, it's bonkers and
wonkers.
It's wonkers.
I'm hoping the next movie we watch in our summer film fest will be a little less wonkers. From reading into this movie, this has become a cult classic, apparently.
Elektra?
No, the next movie we're going to watch on the Film Fest. When we come back in Hot Days Summer Film Fest Volume 5, the future is super female. We will be watching the 2001 cult classic, Josie and the Pussycats.
Wake me up!
Finally.
Wake me up inside!
I can't wake up!
Wake me up inside!
Save me!
Save me from the life I've become!
Live it a lie! Nothing inside.
Ay, ay, ay.
$1, Abs. Go play some pinball.
Why do I always have to miss the good stuff?
Just go.